The scripture this morning is Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. This reading is from the Common English Bible. Would those who are able please stand for the reading of the gospel. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and brought them to the top of a very high mountain where they were alone. He was transformed in front of them, and his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white. Elijah and Moses appeared and were talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the human one had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, thank you for this church and the people gathered here today. We come from many different physical and emotional spaces today, God, and I just ask that you help us to center and to settle into this moment together. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I was terrified. It was the day of the 5K Girls on the Run event. 10 weeks of preparation, and it was coming down to this one day when all 30 of us, a handful of coaches, including myself, and the rest of our group, all fourth and fifth grade girls, would join the other schools in the area run. I was caught in one of those moments on that day when what had seemed like a good idea a while back seemed like a very bad plan today. This happens to me a lot. Yes, I could rationalize that the lessons in self-esteem and self-confidence had been great, and I'd seen the growth among the girls and even within myself, without a doubt. Yet anxiety was seizing me. And when I searched around for its source, I knew why. My anxiety was centered with my students, and one in particular. Her name was Anna. As a school counselor, I had worked with Anna on and off that school year. She was a bright, engaging student with a sensitive heart. One of the things I was tasked with that school year was making the physical environment in the classroom accessible for Anna. You see, while the rest of Anna's classmates were growing at a very, very, very fast pace, this was not happening for her. Anna had a genetic disorder that meant she would not grow as fast or like other kids. And what was different in the year that I met her was that that physical gap between her and her peers was widening and becoming more evident. So when she signed up for the Girls on the Run program, I was excited. I desperately wanted her to feel and experience success in the program and to complete the run. The day of the run was perfect, cool, blue skies. And when the run began, all of our girls started out together in a bundle of noise and excitement and laughter. As the race wore on, though, The quicker runners separated from the pack, and slowly Anna fell to the back of the entire group. From a safe distance, I watched as she began to slow down more and more. Her face became red. Her breathing became more labored with the effort that seemed to come so easily for the other kids. And in her eyes, the happy countenance that was there at the beginning of the run was gone. She was now looking down. She was now isolated from the pack, and I grew more worried. She trudged on, sometimes walking, but always returning to running when she could. And then in that last half mile, when I just wanted it to be over for her, two of her friends, who had completed the race a long time ago, came back to run it with Anna. And then a few hundred feet from the finish line, I heard, before I saw, the rest of the girls from our school. They were cheering Anna on and screaming her name. Anna's head went from looking down at the ground to seeing the finish line. And when she crossed that line, she found herself surrounded by a pile of her friends who showered her with their congratulations and hugs. This went on for some time. And in all of this, I saw her family standing nearby. My eyes were drawn to her mom, who wept openly. It was a beautiful moment. A moment I did not want to end for Anna, for her family, or for her peers. It was a moment I knew I was standing on holy ground. Today's scripture is also about standing on holy ground. An ordinary moment that turned extraordinary when the divine nature of Jesus was revealed. It too is a beautiful moment shared among friends. Jesus took three of his closest companions to share with him in what would transpire at the top of that mountain. These close companions, Peter, James, and John, got to be a part of Jesus' life in ways that the other disciples were not. They shared that deep kind of closeness and deep abiding love that comes with sharing challenging situations and spending a lot of time together. Jesus invited those most beloved to him to share in this vulnerable moment in which God's self was revealed. A moment of dazzling, yet frightening beauty. In a moment this week, I was walking along the lakefront in Evanston, where I'll tell you the sun shines a little bit more than it does here. And looking at an expanse of land that meets Lake Michigan and looks out over the Chicago skyline. It was so cold, and the sun was shining so brightly that the fresh snow on the ground in front of me literally sparkled. It was dazzling as it radiated different colors. Yet, it was so blinding, I had to look away. It got me thinking, is this a glimmer of what that moment in Scripture might have been like? And what would it have been like to be there on that day of Jesus revealing his divine nature? Would I too be terrified by what transpired, as Scripture says the disciples were? Would I know the right thing to say or do in that moment? And in this musing, I kept thinking about Peter and his words. Verse 5. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good that we're here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. And then verse 6. He said this because he didn't know how to respond, for the three of them were terrified. And I thought, I so get this line of scripture. Peter was human and reacted in a very human way. This makes perfect sense. He wanted to do something. This I understand. Peter, being human, reacted just like many of us would in that situation. He is moved by what he has seen. He is moved to figure out what to do with this moment, and he is moved to action. I will build a shrine to commemorate this moment. We too are a people of action like Peter. We like to commemorate, build buildings, erect statues, post momentous occasions on Facebook and Twitter. It seems to be a part of human nature to want to just kind of savor a significant moment in some way, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Yet the good news of today's scripture is not a call to action. It's that we are invited into the presence of God. And like Peter, this messes with our heads a little bit. It is an invitation to lift our heads from the things of this world and lift them up to the glory of God. It is an invitation calling us to get into our hearts a bit. It is an invitation that speaks of softening of our spirits. But let's talk about this world a little bit. It's not easy to be a Christian today. We would all agree on this, right? In this unique culture that we live in, we are encouraged to doubt everything. This is especially true when it comes to our faith and our spiritual lives. In our society, we are post-enlightenment, post-modern, post-Christian, just about post everything. And this is problematic when it comes to the Christian faith, because we can literally just talk ourselves out of and think we can explain everything that is a glimpse of the divine in our life. This is tragic because we know that all we get in this life are brief glimpses of God. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Let us lift our heads to the possibility of what it means to live in the mystery of our faith. Let us soften our hearts so that they can become open to fully experiencing moments in which we are standing on holy ground. Let us embrace the mystery of God at work in our lives, in this church, and in this world in ways that we cannot explain away. And let us talk about those moments. You see, then, when we go down from the mountain into the messiness of life, like our faith ancestors of Peter, James, and John did, we have the memory of those precious holy moments to carry us in the mundane and hard moments of our lives. The good news? Once we begin seeking the divine, we can no longer see the world in the same way. You see, everything becomes a possibility. So as we enter into the wilderness of Lent this week, will we carry with us this glimmer of the divine? Will our spirits be open to the work of God within us all? And as the voice of God speaks, are we listening?